It is nearly 12 o'clock and time for the KMXT Midday Report. Thank you for listening to KMXT, broadcasting on 100.1 FM. It is your public radio station here in beautiful downtown Kodiak, Alaska, where the temperature has climbed to 15 degrees. Under partly cloudy skies, west winds at 8 miles per hour and 10 full miles of visibility at the airport. The Weather Service continues to call for a slight chance of rain and snow showers until 3 p.m., followed by a chance of snow showers. Mostly cloudy today, high near 33, south winds to 15, becoming light and variable. Just a 40% chance of snow showers before midnight tonight. Mostly cloudy overnight with a low of 22, north winds to 20. And mostly sunny for Thursday. Sunny skies on Friday, too. Coming up on the Midday Report, Alaska Aerospace searching for a new leader. They may be closer than they were. Juneau's new cold weather emergency shelter has opened in a warehouse south of town. And the Holiday Classic Sled Dog Race. Those stories and more after headlines.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Amy Held. Israeli and Palestinian leaders are considering an Egyptian proposal to end the war in Gaza. As NPR's Daniel Estrin reports from Tel Aviv, the proposal also seeks a path toward new Palestinian leadership.
NPR obtained a copy of the Egyptian proposal from a Palestinian official. It calls for a temporary ceasefire, more aid to Gaza, freeing Israeli hostages in Gaza and Palestinian detainees in Israel, and a path to ending the war. Israeli leaders discussed the proposal this week, but they say the war will last many more months. Palestinian officials are expected to visit Egypt to discuss who will rule Gaza and the West Bank after the war. President Biden's National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan met with senior Israeli official Ron Dermer. A White House official says they discussed moving to a new phase of the war, focusing on high-value Hamas targets, and what happens in Gaza after the war. Daniel Estrin, NPR News, Tel Aviv.
A group of senior Biden administration officials is in Mexico to discuss immigration enforcement amid an unprecedented surge. NPR's Jasmine Garst reports the issue of migration has been a political liability for President Biden.
Recently, President Biden requested wartime aid for Ukraine and Israel. In response, House Republicans demanded that there be a drastic change in immigration policy to make applying for and receiving asylum at the border far more difficult, as well as expanded deportations.
The Mexican president says he expects migration to be a top issue in the U.S. presidential election next year. The Michigan Supreme Court has handed former President Donald Trump a legal win in a key state, declining to review a case seeking to remove Trump from Michigan's primary ballot, despite his attempts to overturn the last election. The High Court in Colorado, however, has ruled to remove him from their ballot because he engaged in an insurrection. An appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court is expected. The New York Times is suing ChatGPT's maker OpenAI and major shareholder Microsoft, saying millions of its articles are being used without copyright permission. NPR's Derek Kerr has this report.
The New York Times says OpenAI and Microsoft have been, quote, unlawfully copying the newspaper's uniquely valuable works. It says ChatGPT uses the copyrighted material to train its artificial intelligence technology. The paper says the company should be held responsible for billions of dollars in damages. OpenAI and Microsoft did not immediately respond to requests for comment. This is the first major media network to sue OpenAI over copyright infringement. But several novelists, including John Grisham and Jonathan Franzen, have also filed copyright suits against the AI company. Dara Kerr, NPR News.
And you're listening to NPR News.
Ang NPR Balita ay hatid sa inyo ng Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. Para sa kaukulang impormasyon tungkol sa aming mga serbisyo, tumawag lamang sa 481-2400.
For KMXT, I'm Terry Haynes. Alaska Aerospace, which operates the Pacific Spaceport Complex at the end of Kodiak's road system, has been searching for new leadership since its former CEO stepped down in March. KMXT's Brian Venwa reports, it's struggling to find someone, but a new candidate may be in the works.
Alaska Aerospace has gone without permanent leadership for most of the past year, but could announce a new chief executive officer soon. Alaska Senate President Gary Stevens is a non-voting member of the state-owned company's board. He couldn't give a name, but says they've found a prospective candidate.
The board has strong opinions that he's the right person to run an organization like this. He's the right person for Kodiak, and so the board is quite comfortable with that, I believe.
It's been a long road to find new leadership for the company. According to a report from the Anchorage Daily News, the board approved one candidate in the fall, pending approval from the Alaska Governor, Mike Dunleavy. However, earlier this month, Dunleavy refused to accept that candidate as the company's president and CEO and later ousted the board's chair. Stevens says it leaves the board in a tricky position to fill the vacancies.
One member of the board of directors has to be from the Geophysical Institute in Fairbanks. So that's going to be the trick. The governor has to appoint that. He could appoint anyone who works for the Geophysical Institute. So we'll see where that goes.
An appointment to the board would also be subject to approval from the state legislature. Dunleavy refused to comment on the situation at a press conference earlier this month, citing his administration's personnel policy. A spokesperson for Alaska Aerospace also did not comment. Stevens said while he believes the governor should not be able to reject the company's staff, he hopes they can work together.
My goal is to work with the governor, and so I think what the best thing we can do is just let the board go ahead, hire this next fellow, and get things moving at the rocket launch.
Stevens says the board is currently in salary and benefit negotiations with the new candidate and hopes to announce their hiring soon. In Kodiak, I'm Brian Venwa.
After months without a clear plan, Juneau's new cold weather emergency shelter opened in a warehouse south of downtown in late October. KTOO's Clarice Larson and Yvonne Crumry visited the shelter on Thursday to hear how it's going.
Julian Picard sits down to a late-night dinner of ramen and a plastic-wrapped sandwich near his cot. The temperature outside is just below freezing as he and a few dozen people settle in for the night at the city's new warming shelter.
If it wasn't for this place, I don't know what I would do, honestly. It would be bad.
Picard has been without stable housing since 2007. For the last few years, he's relied on Juneau's winter emergency shelter. It's a city-funded space that's meant to be a last resort for unhoused people to survive the night when temperatures drop below freezing. Picard says it isn't where he wants to be, surrounded by strangers in an industrial warehouse meant for storage, not housing. But if he wants to make it through this winter, it's where he has to be.
I haven't always been in this position, you know. I used to work, have family, do all this, you know, and then, like, it's really weird, like, when you're a Juneau and you get, bam, you get down to the bottom, and you just, no matter how hard you fight and claw and try to get your way back up, you can't.
For the last 2 years, the city's emergency shelter was located downtown at Resurrection Lutheran Church. When the congregation voted against hosting the shelter again this winter, St. Vincent de Paul stepped in to work with the city. Shelter manager Jackie Bryant says she knew after her first visit to the warehouse that the new shelter could provide the basics for people to get through the night.
That was my first reaction. It was warm in here. That's what they need. That's awesome.
It has heating, insulation, and electricity, but the bathrooms are porta-potties outside, and there's no running water. It's open from 9 p.m. to 7 a.m. and provides meals at night and in the morning. Bryant says that on the busiest nights, the shelter has housed nearly 50 people. More than 160 people have used the shelter since it opened. So far, the warehouse has been running better than she expected, but it's still just an emergency stopgap to Juneau's greater housing crisis.
I know a warming center, a warming shelter is not a solution. It just keeps people alive, which is what it's designed for, to keep them alive during the winter. It does not replace housing by any means, but there's a real need for it.
Olga Askowak is one of the shelter staff. She knows that need well. She stands at a table near the shelter's entrance and helps new patrons sign in as they come in for the night.
I was homeless before, me and my kids. We lived in a smaller village and we didn't really have any help, anyone to reach out to. And then we came here to Juneau with no place to go.
Ask Oek says she and her daughter first went to a WERE shelter, then to St. Vincent's for help, and found stability in Juneau. Since then, Ask Oek has worked with people experiencing homelessness for over a decade. She says the new shelter works, but she wishes it had a kitchen.
That's the one thing I really enjoy doing is baking, being in the kitchen. And, you know, seeing everybody happy. They got something warm to take out.
Another problem is the location. St. Vincent de Paul and the city coordinate transportation from the Mendenhall Valley and downtown to the shelter, using a city bus in the morning and a 15-passenger van at night. But Bryant says she's not a fan of the shelter's distance from downtown.
I really don't care for the location. I'm going to be honest. I really don't. But it's working. We used to be in downtown in the Jack, or when it was at St. Vincent's. You're right there, and CARES is right there. The services have been close.
That includes quick access to emergency services. So far, she says that extra help has come quickly when they needed it. But for now, Bryant says the shelter's biggest needs are more blankets and socks. With help from Clarice Larson in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Cremery.
Today's KMXT Local News is brought to you in part by Discover Kodiak, a one-stop source for visitor information on Kodiak and other destinations around the state. On the web at kodiak.org and at the Visitor Center in the Ferry Terminal Building at 100 Marine Way, 486-4782.
And now KYUK's Francisco Martinez Cuello reports on the final sled dog race of 2023. 14 teams came out into the bitter cold to compete for the Holiday Classic title.
Some dogs jostled around inside their hay-filled kennels while being dragged by a snow machine from nearby tundra villages. The bumpy trails rocked some to sleep on their travels to Charles Family Lake for the start of the 50-mile Holiday Classic race. It's a rude awakening when the biting wind hits their snouts.
Really cold, windy day here for the Holiday Classic.
It's 3 degrees below zero with near 20-mile-an-hour winds blowing, so race manager Paul Basil is inside his red truck with the K300 logo on both the driver and passenger side doors. He's holding a clipboard as he checks teams off with a pencil while he sees them line up through the window.
We had 3 teams withdraw, so we had 17 sign up and 14 race.
There's an 8-dog limit for each team. Mushers put harnesses on each dog, then clip them on their respective sled lines. Most of the dogs get bright-colored nylon booties. This pre-race ritual brings the dogs to life. Sleds struggle to remain anchored to the frozen lake. Sled lines jerk and tighten as the dog teams bark and jump. They can't contain themselves. They need to run. It's a frenzy until they are unanchored. It's a mass start, so teams will have to file and zipper up through the trail. Basil starts the race. The barking decrescendos as the last team departs towards the horizon. The 14 teams leave Charles Family Lake and travel north overland toward the river. They then descend to the river trail above Schwalbe Island and continue on the trail to Akiachuk. Between Akiachuk and Akiak, they come to a turnaround and return to Bethel on the same trail. And, after 4 hours and 14 seconds, 20-year-old musher Raymond Alexi won his 9th consecutive K300-sponsored event, dating back to the 2022 season opener. Alexi's dogs, Apollo and Rustler, led the team.
When we took off, it was good. It was a soft trail till we got onto the Cusco, and it was, when I got onto the Cusco, it was packed.
Alexi says he was not affected by the cold.
Not really, just maybe on coming back from the Cusco.
On the way back, Alexi says the conditions were challenging.
Tougher when I got into that land because of the headwinds and snowdrifts.
Alexi received $3,200 for coming in first in the final race of 2023. Pete Kaiser came in second almost half an hour later. He stayed just long enough to pick up his $2,900 check and continued mushing home. And 3 minutes later, Raymond Alexi's father, Harry Alexi, crossed the finish line to earn $2,600. Harry says the conditions were windy and slow.
It's been windy and tough trail. At least for once, I wouldn't mind racing a fair weather trail. Hard and no wind, and No weather.
Racing is in the Alexei bloodline, and Harry is thrilled about his son's performance.
Very proud, you know. Couldn't ask for a better team. You know. He's been working hard throughout his school year, and once he graduates, you know, he's put 110% effort on them. So hard work pays off.
Father Alexander Larson finished fourth, and fifth place was Darren George. The first race of 2024 is the Bogus Creek 150, which is scheduled to begin on Saturday, January 13th. Registration will open soon. In Bethel, I'm Francisco Martinez Cuello.
The end of the year is typically a time when members of Congress look back at their year and review their accomplishments. But Alaska Public Media's Washington correspondent Liz Ruskin reports that one of the incentives Senator Lisa Murkowski tried to bestow on military members in Alaska hasn't materialized.
In 2022, Congress passed a defense bill authorizing cold weather incentive pay for the military. Senator Murkowski said last December she was proud to get the measure included, one of several aimed at tackling a mental health crisis among Alaska-based troops.
One of the things that we know happens when it comes to mental health is when people are stressed financially, it compounds other problems that are going on. And so things like the Arctic pay incentive, additional allowance for winter gear.
Many news outlets, including Alaska Public Media, produced stories saying Congress was sending extra money to service members stationed in Alaska and maybe other cold weather spots. But a year later, no one has received the Arctic pay bonus. It's not clear whether the Defense Department is still planning to implement the program or has rejected the idea. Murkowski's office says it's pressing for answers. Multiple emails this week to military public affairs officers did not produce any answers either. Last year's defense bill authorized cold weather incentive pay with no end date for the program, but the legislation did not mandate paying the bonus. The same bill also included provisions to reimburse Alaska-based service members for airfare to their home of record. The Defense Department did change its travel regulations, and Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson published instructions on how to get reimbursement. Military Public Affairs offices we contacted this week said they were trying to find out how many trips the program reimbursed for. But the congressional mandate for that program ends New Year's Eve. Murkowski's office says she tried to continue the travel reimbursement in the current defense bill. The Senate version of the bill included a six-month extension. Members of the House who negotiated the bill forced senators to drop it. Reporting from Anchorage, I'm Liz Ruskin.
Petersburg locals are preserving the Northern European holiday tradition of pickling fish in brine. The town crowned four champions this month of its 49th annual pickled herring contest. As KFSK's Shelby Herbert reports, it was a time of merriment and cheer with an undercurrent of fierce competition.
Rain lashes the exterior of Petersburg's Sons of Norway Hall on the night of December 13th. But inside, it's toasty and dry. The air is zested with the smell of pickling spices, peppercorns, mustard seed, and dill, as well as other carefully guarded secret ingredients. Heidi Lee is arranging bowls of brine seafood on a long table for tonight's event, and she's resisting the urge to sample their contents.
I think that pickled herring is soul food, so I can't wait till I can start eating some of this stuff.
The warm glow of Christmas lights illuminates plates of artfully arranged delicacies. The spread ranges from classic Scandinavian fare, slices of jewel-toned salmon and pillowy lefse, to the unconventional. A side of smoked eel and a tureen of pickled tanner crab decorated with the crab's own claws and looking somewhat like an alien life form. Both are hits with the crowd. And then the star of the show, bowls of pale cuts of pickled herring. The atmosphere is cheerful, with friends and neighbors coming in from the cold to hobnob over giant plates of food. But this is a serious night for the contestants. Glorianne Wolin is one of them. She's also the MC for the contest. She's mingling in the crowd with a big smile on her face, but her head is still in the game.
Oh yeah, my fierce competitors are Helmer and Sig, and every once in a while we have somebody else that jumps into it, but I caught Sig's eye across the post office, and we gave each other a little wink.
Pickled fish isn't the only salty thing in the Sons of Norway Hall. Katie Brantuis is one of tonight's judges. She says some years folks have cried actual tears over the contest.
It's competitive, it's great, it's beautiful.
So competitive, in fact, that the organizers had to tweak the rules this year. Brantuis says judges used to be able to recognize their friends' dishes by how they were plated. And that put the contest in a bit of a pickle, as far as fairness goes. Now, every contestant has to serve up their entry the same way.
They're going to put the pickled herring in the same bowl, which is new this year. Therefore, it's not like, oh, I know so-and-so's bowl.
Appearance aside, there are lots of different ways to evaluate brine seafood. I asked the judges and participants about what makes a champion pickled herring dish.
Texture, flavor.
And, in that order?
Well, flavor and texture, probably in that order.
See, there's multiple facets. It's a multifaceted thing. For herring, you want firmness and then a good pickling.
Taste. It's all about the taste. Taste, taste, taste.
When the judges complete their rounds, Wolin steps up to announce the winners. There are a few different categories, and not all of them are focused on herring. Jim Edgars won first place in the smoked salmon category with his smoked winter king. Helmer Olsen and Kurt Kernvik tied for the best pickled fish and seafood category. Both entered their pickled black cod. And the winner of the 2023 Petersburg Pickled Herring Contest, Sig Mathiesen, announcer Glorianne Wolin's rival.
Take away for the 2023 winner of the Petersburg Pickled Herring Contest.
Mathiesen took home two first-place trophies. He won the smoked cured fish category with his gravlax and the pickled herring category with his south-of-the-border sauced herring. Mathiesen insists there's not much of a secret to his success.
I do the same recipes year after year, and I might do a little different little touches to fine-tune what I do. But I try to be traditional and try to smoke and pickle and do things the way my family has done for years and years.
Mathiesen is a third-generation Norwegian-American, and he says the contest is about preserving more than just cuts of fish.
It's important to be, like, in this building, Sons of Norway, doing things that my grandfather did and probably way before him. My recipes I learned from my uncle and my cousin Andy, and I'm more than happy to keep the traditions going.
Mathiesen says in order to carry the pickled herring tradition into the future, he's even willing to pass on his award-winning recipes. Eventually. In Petersburg, I'm Shelby Herbert.
The New York Times is the first major media company to sue over ChatGPT. I'm Nova Safo with a Marketplace Minute. The Times says OpenAI used the newspaper's copyrighted articles to train its artificial intelligence tool and did so without paying. The Times says Microsoft's Bing Chat and ChatGPT are reciting Times articles verbatim. Neither tech company had immediate comment on the lawsuit. Holiday shopping held up this year. MasterCard says Americans increased their spending by 3.1%. That's in line with the inflation rate. The U.S. is purchasing 3 million barrels of oil to replenish the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. The purchases averaged $77 per barrel. The government sold at a higher price last year to alleviate a global shortage. I'm Nova Safo with the Marketplace Minute.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Good afternoon and welcome to your Island Messenger for Wednesday. It is the 27th day of December, the year 2023. The sun rose today at 9:54. It will set again at 4:27. That will give us 6 hours and 33 minutes of daylight, a gain of 49 seconds compared to yesterday. Our record high temperature for this date was 65 degrees. That was set in 2021. Remember that? Our record low was 3 degrees, set in 1957. Currently a kind of nippy 15 degrees. The skies are becoming increasingly overcast. At the airport, they show west winds at 8 miles per hour and 10 miles of visibility. And the Weather Service continues to call for a slight chance of rain and snow showers before 4 p.m., then a chance of snow showers after that. Mostly cloudy skies today with a high near 33. South winds 10 to 15, becoming light and variable. Your chance of precipitation is 40% today. 40% chance of snow showers before 1 a.m. tonight with mostly cloudy skies, low of 22, light north winds turning to the northwest to 20 this evening, and mostly sunny skies for Thursday, high near 32, northwest winds to 15, mostly clear overnight Thursday night, and sunny skies on Friday. We have an incoming tide. Our next high tide here on the east side will happen at 1:35 this afternoon and be 10.1 feet, followed by a low tide at 8:34 p.m. of minus 1 foot. Over on the west side, your high tide will happen at 2:08 this afternoon and be 15.4 feet, followed by a low tide at 9:03 p.m. of minus 2 feet in Larsen Bay. Mariners, here is your forecast for Marmot Island to Sitkanak out to 15 nautical miles. Small craft advisory for today and tomorrow. Southeast winds to 25 knots, becoming northwest 15 tonight. 7-foot seas coming down to 6 feet tonight. But northwest 25 tomorrow, seas coming back up to 7 feet. Over in the Shelikof Strait, variable 10 today, seas to 3 feet. For tonight, northeast 20, seas coming up to 4 feet. And for tomorrow, north 20, seas to 3 feet. Kodiak Audubon Society is inviting bird watchers to participate in the longest-running community science survey, the annual Audubon Christmas Bird Count, on December 30th, on Saturday. They're going to be counting the birds at Chiniac and Narrow Cape. Birders of all ages and abilities are welcome to contribute to this fun nationwide community science project. The compiler arranges volunteers into small parties who follow assigned routes, counting each bird they see. Some people also watch bird feeders instead of following routes. Interested field birders and feeder watchers must arrange with the count compiler in advance in order to significantly and meaningfully participate. To sign up for the Narrow Cape Chiniac count, contact Robin Corcoran at 907-654-0997 or email Robin Corcoran, that's RobinCorcoran at yahoo.com. And it's back. The city of Kodiak is presenting fireworks over Kodiak waterfront for this New Year's Eve, which is Sunday, December 31st. Those fireworks will be set off on the spit this year, and so they're going to maintain a 250-foot perimeter around the area where they will be setting the fireworks off, but otherwise probably visible all over town. Fireworks over the Kodiak waterfront, New Year's Eve, and I believe that begins at 7 or 7:30. The Kodiak Island Borough Assembly will be having a work session in the Borough Assembly Chambers on Thursday. That's happening at 6:30 p.m. The meeting is open to the public, and the packet's available at the Kodiak Island Borough website. Contact the Borough Clerk's Office at 486-9310 with any questions. And AMSI is conducting a fishing vessel drill conductor course in Kodiak on Monday and Tuesday, January 8th and 9th. So not this next Monday and Tuesday, but the one after. 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Kodiak Seafood and Marine Science Center. That's in Trident Way over on Near Island. The cost for the class is absolutely free for Kodiak commercial fishermen and only $225 for others. The class meets the U.S. Coast Guard training requirements for drill conductors on commercial fishing vessels.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT three times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m., during the Midday Report at 12:20, and in the evening at 7 o'clock. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.